Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Clint Richardson. He is the producer, director, writer of Lethal Injection, the story of vaccination, and Kaffir School, school districts, and the lottery, as well as the Corporation Nation. His websites are realityblogger.wordpress.com, clint4p.com, and thecorporationnation.com. All righty. So have we covered the Federal Reserve and the other things that we're talking about?
Gosh, I hope so. I do want to read you two little sections out of Title 26. 7701 is the definitions. So you have to understand that in order for you to be taxable by the IRS, first of all, you must have a Social Security number, and that's something that I'm fixing to make a documentary about, which is me extracting my original application, meaning that my Social Security number and the trust involved in it is completely devoid. And therefore, my driver's license is also void because it's based on a fictional number. And again, kind of like the dollar, the Social Security number is property of government. It'll tell you that when you get your Social Security card. It is not your property. It is the number is the proper, and the card is property of government. It can be taken back at any time. So the definition of in order to tax you, the definition of United States person, that's what you must be as an individual. Term United States prison, this is number 30 of the definitions in section 7701. The term United States person means a citizen or resident of the United States. Well, guess what? That's your Social Security number. And without it, this does not apply. Also, what I was just referring to is Title 26, Section 6065, and listen to this very carefully. Except as otherwise provided by the Secretary, any return, declaration, statement, or other document required to be made under any provision of the Internal Revenue laws or regulations, very important, shall contain or be verified by a written declaration that is made under the penalties of perjury. Okay, well, what that is basically saying is that anything that the IRS sends you must be signed by them under penalties of perjury. Any declaration or threat that is made, which is illegal, by the way, must be made with a signature. Of course, that's why they don't sign these documents, and that's why actually the agency, the IRS, allows their agents to take pseudonyms, not use their real names as IRS agents, and so there is no responsibility. And yeah, I mean, as a national, you're not a person. You're withdrawing all of that. And again, this is what I'm going to go through here in the next 6 months or so, is to withdraw my citizenship, and I'm going to document every step of it, including withdrawing from voter registration and from the DMV, any form of licensing whatsoever. I will have no person whatsoever, basically. And so that's coming.
I think that sounds wonderful, and you're going to tell the rest of us how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I've met several people who you know, 12 years ago have already done this, and they're perfectly fine. You can get a passport, you can travel, meaning you can
operate a car,
not a vehicle. You're not driving because that's a title in commerce, and of course your driver's license itself is a commercial license. But if you actually look, there's no commercial activity being defined on the license. So yeah, it'll be an interesting thing, and I'm going to document everything so that people can see exactly what's happening.
All righty, we are going to a break. We'll be right back with our guest.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Anna, and our guest today is Clint Richardson. His website, the main one that we're going to talk about now, is realityblogger.wordpress.com. You have a completely different take on Boston, the Boston bombing, and you give you don't go through all the things that the other people are going through, but you give it a different perception. So, could you talk about that?
Well, sure. It's very difficult, I think, for people to grasp, even the people in the know, to grasp the concept that government might actually be behind these incidents, the school shootings and this thing. I mean, even for me, knowing what I know, it's still difficult for me to consider that people acting in the capacity of government, because they're still people, you know. It's hard for me to imagine that these people would do something like this for a purpose. And there is very much a purpose behind what we call false flag attacks, or what I call public executions. What I did, you know, I saw the Boston bombing, and I don't know why the other ones didn't, you know, I guess it's because the Boston one, I mean, if you think about it, it had no purpose. There was absolutely no benefit that anybody could get, except government, who's trying to pass all these laws and restrictions. There's no benefit whatsoever to some bombing of runners. I mean, what would be the point except to instill some kind of fear and then to use that fear to pass some legislation? I mean, that's really the only motive you can possibly think of. And no terrorist cell or organization, if there is such a thing, would possibly claim that they did this, because, I mean, mean, if Al Qaeda were a real thing, what possible benefit could it get by claiming to blow up these twin towers? They're going to be hunted down and killed. What possible benefit does Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein? What possible benefit do you have by poking a stick at the power structure of the world? You're going to get hunted down and killed. There is no benefit from terror unless your government. I mean, really, there is no benefit. I mean, the benefits from 9/11 can be, I mean, there's so many arms and tentacles of the benefits that happen for government, and yet I cannot find one benefit for any type of other organization, other country. If a country claims it, guess what? That country's going to get a butt whipping. Right? I mean, there is no reason to do this. And that brings us to a little document that I read about 10 years ago and put in the back of my mind, because at the time I really didn't comprehend what it was actually saying. But it was called The Report from Iron Mountain. And I have a link to that on my blog, and my article is called Boston Bombing, The Importance of Public Executions in Peacetime. What's really frightening, it's kind of like the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. It's been called a hoax, and it's been called all kinds of different things. And what's ironic about it, when you say that about the protocols and when you say that about the report from Iron Mountain, is that these are basically blueprints for what is happening and what has already happened. The protocols being a complete subversion of morals and values in society. And the report from Iron Mountain is basically a guideline for the transition from a war economy to a peace economy or a peace system. All right, and in the report, it refers to what are called peace planners, if you can believe that. So which of course means that there are war planners, and we know that. So what really caught my attention when I saw this Boston bombing thing, again, a completely pointless act for anyone in the world except government, if you think about it. And I for some reason, that concept of the importance of publicly showing terror and death and blood came to mind, and I thought instantly, oh, the Iron Mountain Report. So I went back and I reread it. And I specifically remember this part about public executions, which basically means that if you're transitioning from a time of war to a time of peace or an economy based on peace, and keep in mind that this report is actually accurate. I mean, there's nothing that I can find as a flaw in this report, except that I'm a empathetic, loving man who and this report has something called the avoidance of value assumptions. In other words, it must absolutely be completely objective and push morals and values and ethics and empathy aside, and because what we're really talking about is the continuity of government. How do you keep a corporation going in a time of peace? Because if you look back in history, according to the report, you'll see that when an empire basically became an empire and there were no longer any threats to that empire, they went into what you could refer to as a peace economy or a peace system. Therefore, you don't really need the emphasis on war as much. And what happens is, the need for employment diminishes. What does that create? Well, a bunch of people who can now concentrate on the arts, can concentrate on, thinking, writing, all of these things, all of the liberal arts, basically. And all of a sudden, you obtain a, what you might call an educated populace.
Can't have that here in America now, can
exactly.
we?
Exactly. And this report actually alludes to the fact that the way that those civilizations actually helped to overcome that was slavery. And the report basically talks about how to implement a new form of slavery that is not like the old one. And you basically have debt slavery, and you have what I refer to as employment. Basically, I mean, think about it. Millions of people work for the IRS because it's a complete bureaucracy and so confusing, and yet 999 of those people could probably be let go 9,000 of those people can be let go just by getting rid of exemptions or making a flat tax, where even an infant can figure out that 5% of my income is what I owe to the federal government. Whatever your opinion of that it is, doesn't matter. The point is, a bureaucracy is built up. We have a service industry based on servicing loans, servicing debt, servicing financial instruments that, by all meaning, is basically usury. So the whole concept of employment or unemployment is basically, if the government uses the word unemployment, what it really means is that its servants are not as indentured as they'd like them to be. So we have to create more bureaucracy, more jobs, if you will, to keep these people busy so they don't start thinking and educating themselves and participating in the arts. The wonderful things about life, right? So that's part of this, is to create a new form of slavery, and part of it refers to people like me who are insubordinates or non-conformists. And what do they do for that? Well, they create the Peace Corps, or Obama's, what do they call Obama's new army? the Obama Corps. Yeah, all these, they're basically military positions that are not violent. So you're joining a military to rebuild, flood areas. You're basically creating a military, a non-military function, but it is a military. And so that appeals to people like me who would otherwise say, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't need to join an army to do good deeds. I mean, I can do those on my own. I can volunteer anytime I want to. But of course, people don't have time to volunteer because they have jobs. Servicing debt and servicing what government calls the economy, which of course government is about 80% of the economy. So, but what the report really, really, the important part of this is that as these empires went into this peace where they no longer had a threat from outside, an external threat, the society, or more specifically the government that controls that society, becomes less important, less needed. As the people become more self-aware and the need for military diminishes, the society, according to government, of course, the society that government wants to see, starts to deteriorate, and at that point the government or the continuity of the government gets threatened, and of course that's when kind of like America is today, that is what is, we're under threat right now of being taken over from within, as opposed to without. So the report talks about external threats. It even goes into weather as a weapon, which of course is your geoengineering and all of that. There must be an external threat. It talks about climate change being an external threat that people are threatened by. And what this does is creates a sense of allegiance to the government. So the government is necessary. In peacetime, and this is, the report actually refers to Orwell and Huxley and who was the other one, Orson Welles, as these systems, your Brave New World type of system, and compares the peace, what needs to happen in peacetime. So as we transition over from a war system to a peace system, the concept of the Orwellian phrase "war is peace" actually makes a whole lot of sense, because in a peace system, in order to avoid people from becoming this self-aware group of people that doesn't need government anymore, doesn't need a military, you must have an external threat or even an internal threat. And that doesn't necessarily, it can be the weather, it can be aliens from outer space, it can be a meteor coming to Earth, it can be 2012, it can be the Planet X. All of these things are external threats to create fear, but the most important thing are things like the Boston bombing, where some external threat comes in, places a bomb, and kills a bunch of innocent people, and blood is all over the media, and therefore we must support government.
Right. All righty, we are going to a break, and we do have a couple callers on the line, and we'll take some calls when we get back. Be right back.
Great. ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Clint Richardson, and we do have a couple callers. Do you want to finish up whatever you were saying before we went to the break?
I would just,
I don't
want to
cut
mind.
You off and
Well, it's just the importance of showing bloodshed and showing what they call blood sacrifice, actually, or blood sport. And in the report, it refers to the media as the entity that should be supporting and showing these blood sports. Well, what do we have now? We have wrestling. We have MMA, which is basically full-on contact sport, making it's basically the gladiators of yesterday. But I want to read just one portion on page 39 of the report that basically covers what I just said in a more compact way. And remember, it refers to the war system and the peace system, and when the report is about transitioning from the war system into a peace system. So it says, the war system not only has been essential to the existence of nations as independent political entities, but has been equally indispensable to their stable political nature. Without it, without the war system, without war, no government has ever been able to obtain acquiescence in its legitimacy or the right to rule its society. The possibility of war provides the sense of external necessity, an external enemy, without which no government can long remain in power. So you need that external threat to legitimize the right to rule the society. The historical record reveals one instance after another where the failure of a regime to maintain the credibility of a war threat led to its dissolution. So without a war threat, without the threat of some external energy or enemy, excuse me, the legitimacy and right to rule its society goes away. I mean, if there's no threat, we certainly aren't going to be slaves to government. Led to its dissolution by the forces of private interest or reactions to social injustice. Well, God, are we not in the middle of the worst social injustice happening in history right now? I mean, with the way we occupy and kill other members of other societies and countries, or of the disintegrative elements, the organization of society for the possibility of war. Okay, listen to this very carefully. The organization of society for the possibility of war is its principal political stabilizer. Again, war is peace. It has enabled societies to maintain necessary class distinctions, and it has ensured the subordination of the citizens to the state, in other words, to the United States, by virtue of the residual war powers inherent in the concept of nationhood. That is basically saying war is peace. You cannot have peace unless you create a sense that war is just around the corner. There's always the threat of war. There's always the threat of terrorist attacks. There is always the threat externally of something like the Boston bombing from happening. It could happen anywhere. Therefore, we need the military. We need to pump $1 trillion into the defense, which is more than we put into education. We need all of these things to basically have a peace system, because the war system at this point is too dangerous. We have nuclear weapons. We have energy weapons. We can zap you from outer space. This is getting to just, you know, Putin came out and said he'll have a zombie gun where he controls people's mind by 2020. So the war system is too dangerous. It's too advanced. We need to transition to a peace system where the weapons of war can be used to ensure the peace.
Right, while taking away the citizens' right to own weapons.
Well, of course, you can't have peace. You can't have peace according, you know, this is, the definition of peace to most people is not the same definition of peace when it comes to a corporation called the United States. Okay, we're talking about the continuity of a corporation, and a corporation has no morals, ethics, values, or anything else when it comes to this. And part of this report is the importance of being objective. In other words, not bringing the fact that we're killing people, innocent people, has no bearing on this whatsoever. We cannot stop these types of things. We cannot stop the peace system just because we're harming people and making them bleed. They are blood sacrifice for peace. Wow. I can't stress this enough.
Wow. And, okay, that is... You know, I really haven't seen anybody else talk about this in this way, the Boston bombing. It usually we just see all of the evidence supposed evidence, like the paint that's supposed to be blood.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, there's a website called crisisactors.com,
right, I believe.
And, yeah, all of that is, see, those are symptoms. Those are not the problem. Okay,
right.
Those are not the disease. The disease is the fact that government needs to maintain its power, and the only way to do that in peace is the constant threat of war. War is peace. War is peace. War is peace.
Right. Okay. All right, let's take a caller. Let's take Lark in Texas. Lark, welcome to the program.
Well, hi there.
Hi.
I certainly enjoy your perspective on things, Clint. I want to provide another perspective, not to be contentious, but just to couple with your own for consideration. One benefit, of course, of the...
Hold on to that thought, Lark. We are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it. Not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we had Lark on the phone from Texas, and you were saying, Lark? You were going to say something that was very compatible to what Clint was saying.
Yes. Can you hear me okay, Deanna?
Yes,
Okay, very good. Well, one of the benefits is that in the mimetic warfare that is on for our minds, and what can be called mindshare, that which is put forward for public discussion, which influences policy. Policy, of course, is part and parcel to management of a police state, is that we had the overwhelming passage of the CISPA, Cybersecurity Bill, the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protect Act. Now, this puts us one step closer to what I term the dictatorship of the community. And the reason for that is because there is such a doctrine within communitarian law called the responsibility to protect. And, of course, this was actually the legal doctrine which justified and then authorized our expansion through the Middle East, with Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Pakistan is ongoing. It's just, it's an ongoing thing. They have actually legalized slavery, as I think Clint points out. Government is the controller of the mind. We can also reference to the 1954 document called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
Absolutely.
They've actually not only legalized slavery, but they've legalized murder. And it's the American people themselves that are committing murder upon themselves.
Well, this is a license to kill. It is a license is permission to do an illegal act, an unlawful act.
That's
that
right.
Is what license to kill means. And I got to say, as you're talking about that, you got to realize too that when you're talking about Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Libya, all of these, Vietnam, Korea. All of these were not wars, okay? These were peace missions, okay?
Yes.
It is a peace system. The last time we were at war was, of course, World War II. That was the last time Congress actually declared war. And since then, we've been transitioning into a peace system. But peace does not mean that you're not killing people. It means that you're going over to other countries with your military force that is necessary because there is an external threat in the peacetime. And you're killing many, 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 many women and children and men in the name of peace. So when you wonder why we're doing this, again, we have to support the peace system. In order to have viability of government and its military apparatus, or the military-industrial complex, you must have an external threat. That threat must be televised. That threat must be visual and bloody, and it must be shown to the people so that the people are constantly in fear of the external threat that really doesn't exist. Did Vietnam have a navy? Did Vietnam have an air force? No, there was no threat.
Well, let's bring the work back closer to home. We have American hospitals that are actually licensed to deal drugs and essentially subdue the population in the same way that the British subdued the Chinese during two opium wars. We've got people called doctors and nurses that are legally poisoning and murdering people. And at the same time, we have essentially the Ouroboros. In effect, we've got the snake eating its own tail. In other words, the people themselves are imprisoning and preying upon and even murdering each other. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, how is this all accomplished without people realizing that they're actually involved in murdering and poisoning and doing harm and preying upon each other? And that's why I bring this thing up, because when you talk about peace is war and war is peace, well, it has to come full circle. And this brings me to the real two questions that I had for you, because you're a very bright guy I respect a lot, and I know that you can help a lot of people by helping me, for instance, bring forth this message if you think it's valid. And that is that we have two dilemmas. Number one, we need to define succinctly what is honorable contract. And we have to return to an intelligible or comprehensible rule of law understood by everyone in order to have any kind of what I could say a civilized society. And not a civil society is defined by socialists or fascists or communists or communitarians, because the variant of socialism today, what is socialism? It is human, child, sex, drug, organ trafficking. It is freeloading. It is parasitism. And is law as legalized slavery and plunder and murder. This is what we have today. And so my question to you is do we not need to define succinctly what is or is not an honorable contract? And can you honorably contract with a collectivist third party entity that is in fact an artificial person? I don't think so.
Well, so here's the thing. Now, you know, you got people like Larkin Rose and others out there who promote what they refer to as a voluntary society. What's interesting about that is the fact that we are in a voluntary society already. And what that means is that the whole system, from the IRS to government to your local municipal rules and regulations to the motor vehicle code, all of this is voluntary. And so to understand what that really means, we have to understand what a contract is. So a contract, what you're referring to is a bilateral contract, meaning that I sign and government signs, right? So we have a contract that they will provide services to me, and I will obey their laws. But see, that's not what we have. What we have is
fast approaching a time where even any written contract whatsoever would be dishonorable in such a system as we have today.
Well, see, but the word dishonorable maybe isn't the right word. It's voluntary is really the right word, because what we're in, because remember, government isn't a man. So government cannot sign a contract. Government is not capable of, as an artificial person, government cannot sign a contract. What we
but
do
can
is,
a man can a natural man contract with a collectivist third party entity? I mean, I don't know anybody named We the People.
Right.
I don't know anybody named the state of Texas, and I don't know anybody named the United States.
Sure. What we do though is we basically vacate our self, meaning our natural state as a man on the land in nature, and we become the person, the artificial person or the individual, whatever you're defining it as, any time that we sign what's called a unilateral contract. But a unilateral contract is not the same as a contract that you're talking about. A unilateral contract is simply government or any corporation, that Microsoft, for instance, that gives you a set of rules that or regulations and things that you are to follow, and you sign it, meaning uni. Uni means one. So a unilateral contract is an agreement by the citizen with government. So when I sign my driver's license, when I sign my Social Security card, when I sign all of these things, I am entering into what's called a unilateral contract, which really
and when you
it's
when you
simple
contract
terms.
With some entity
Lark, let,
as
let
that.
Him finish. Lark, let Clint finish.
Well, what that means is that I am agreeing to a set of rules and that the duty of government is basically to provide the services that it promises. Of course, it can change that duty at any time. It can change the rules at any time. You can't. So what's important about this, again, is that you're volunteering to follow a certain set of rules and to consent to everything government does. That's why I say we are already in a voluntary society. What we need to do is retract our volunteerism, retract our signature, retract our Social Security. We are under a 10-mile square corporation that has nothing to do with the rest of the country. Okay, we are taking up residency in the United States, which is the District of Columbia. We are when we register to vote, we are voting in as a United States citizen. We are voting in the District of Columbia. We are vacating the land. We are vacating our bodies, becoming artificial persons, and participating in commerce with the United States of America, which is the Washington D.C. Okay, so the Constitution, it's only valid in Washington, D.C., or if we agree or volunteer, then it's valid where we live. And we are all basically domiciled and resident in Washington, D.C. It's a corporate veil that we all participate in. That is the problem. We sign a unilateral contract, which simply means an agreement. When we get a title, a loan for our home, and we sign that mortgage, go look. The bank is not a signer of that contract. It is a unilateral contract. It is an agreement to follow the terms of the bank. The bank is scot-free. It has no responsibility except for what's listed in that contract. And for the most part, the contract just says that you're going to pay them this and that the house that is going to be a sacrifice if you don't pay. So that is what we're involved in. We are constantly volunteering to sign agreements. Why do we do this? Because we think we have to. We believe that we're forced to be in this contractual state with government. But it's not a contract. Now think of this. You want to know what the Matrix is? If you're the sole signer of a contract, meaning a unilateral contract, an agreement, then guess what? You are the sole signatory. Who has the power to change a unilateral contract? Well, the people who signed that. Do I have to get permission from government to change that contract? No. Government is not a signatory to that contract. Do I have to get permission to go in and change my mortgage or my title? Can I go in and I can just send a letter to the bank stating that I'm changing my unilateral contract, my agreement, to say that I owe zero money to the bank because the bank didn't loan me any of its own money. I don't owe the bank anything. And I'm putting my interest to zero. I am the sole signatory of that contract, which is an agreement, and therefore I am the only person in the power to change the contract. That, my friend, is the definition of changing the Matrix. I can go change the motor vehicle code for my benefit if I want to. Only for my benefit. I can't do it for other people. You see, okay. So
it all really means personal responsibility. Well, Lark, thank you so much for your phone call. We do have some other callers, so thank you so much. All right, let's take Andrea in Oklahoma. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Yes, at this point, everything, especially here in Oklahoma, everybody, my relatives, all my friends, won't listen to anything I have to say, but because the media is where they get all their information, the radio, the television, everything. You come across saying this information. And by the way, what's the name of your book? And is all this information in your book that you put out?
Who, me?
Yeah. Do you have this in a book?
I don't. I've never written anything in book form. I'm actually doing that right now. But no, all of my information is free. It's online. Never made a cent from it, so...
Okay, so it's just that we're not all on the same page. Everything on Republic needs to kind of follow suit, and all the other speakers don't hear the same things. And if we were all to follow suit, because we need to make a change in this country. I mean, as far as having jobs, people can't even grow a garden in their backyard or try and sustain themselves. It's like there was a show on here called The Posse. We need to go out and arrest the lawbreakers, our government, and get rid of them, fire them, make them go home. They're doing that in Mexico. It's like, wow.
You know, it's interesting because the Supreme Court just did a ruling that basically defined what what a grand jury is, what power it has. So what people really need to do if they wanted to do what you're talking about, you can't just go out and arrest somebody. What you need to do is get the law of the land is the grand jury. They make their own decisions. They pull their own evidence. They have no restrictions from government. But, of course, a grand jury has to be educated as to their power. What you have to do this lawfully, if you actually want to arrest your local or state officials, you will need to get a grand jury, a legal and lawful grand jury together, not just one that you create out of thin air. There's a specific standard for doing so. And what you need to do, you see, is to make the sheriff act as he's supposed to act. And the sheriff, if you consider what the court is and what the sheriff is basically the executive of the court, meaning just like the president or the executive branch is the strong arm of the court. It has the military. It controls the police. It controls everything that is violent to get the job done when the court makes a decision. So when the grand jury makes a decision, it is not you that is supposed to go and enforce that court decision. What you have to do is make the sheriff obey the decision of the lawful grand jury. That's the tough part. And if the sheriff doesn't do that, in other words, if the sheriff doesn't go arrest, if that's what the grand jury actually does or decides, go and arrest the governor of the state, then the sheriff is not acting within his capacity. And at that point, you're going to have to assemble another grand jury, and you're going to have to sue the sheriff. And you're going to have to either knock the sheriff out of his position, sue him, put him in jail, whatever. You're going to have to eventually make it so that any public official better do his job or the grand jury is going to get together. Now, that is the lawful way of doing this, because the sheriff, again, is the strong arm. He's the executive of the court. You'll notice that when you go to court, the sheriffs are the bailiffs. The sheriffs are, like I said, the enforcement arm of the court. Without the sheriff, the court has no power. Without the court, the sheriff has no power. That's the intimate relationship, and that's the real power and why the sheriff is truly the law of the land, because the court can decide anything it wants, but if it doesn't have the power of the sheriff, it cannot enforce its opinions. So if you're going to focus on something, that's what you should be focusing on.
All righty, we are going to break. Andrea, feel free to hang on over the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256, or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Our guest today has been Clint Richardson. He is the producer, director, a writer of Lethal Injection, The Story of Vaccination, also Kaffir School, School Districts, and the Lottery, and, of course, the Corporation Nation. His website is realityblogger.wordpress.com and thecorporationnation.com. And we had Andrea on the phone. And also we have a question from the chat room. Is there such a thing as a people's jury that can spring up and arrest judges, or is that a myth? Now, isn't that a grand jury?
Well, that's what the Tim Turner thing was basically doing, is collecting, getting a bunch of people together outside of the system and trying to attack the system from without the system. And that's not really the proper way to do it. In order for the system to recognize the grand jury, because we are talking, we're not talking about a lawful system, we're talking about a legal system. So in order to overrule the legal aspect of it, you're going to have to do a lawful grand jury, but it, within the system. And now courts themselves actually have they won't tell you this, but you can actually access the grand jury. And when you do, it's like every 2 months or 2 years, I can't remember. When you do, you can actually tell the judge to leave the room. You can tell the attorneys, defending and prosecuting attorneys, to leave the room, and you can address the grand jury yourself without anyone listening. Off the record, on the record, doesn't matter. You see, the grand jury becomes the court. The judge is just there to administrate the court. The grand jury has all the power, but see, you're not supposed to know that you have access to that, because if people knew that, then suddenly there would be exactly what we're talking about. And I also want to tell, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Andrea.
Andrea, that if you read, you know, you talked about the media. If you go and read the report from Iron Mountain, because after I read it, I was listening to radio. I think I was listening to Fox just to get a clue about what they're talking about. And I noticed that everything the man said, I think it was Hannity, everything he said fell right into line with the report from Iron Mountain. You want to understand what the media is doing? Then go read the report from Iron Mountain. You will instantly recognize the exact plan of Iron Mountain that is being spread through the media. I don't know how to explain it to you better than that, but if you go read the report and then go listen to the news or watch the news, you will see Iron Mountain in effect happening right before your eyes.
Andrea, do you have a comment? Oh, okay, she's off. Okay, hopefully she heard that. And I agree with you completely. Sure. They're all actors, CIA agents, or whatever. It's
exactly
it's all play
that.
Acting.
It's crazy. I also wanted to say to the gentleman who or whoever it was that sent the email about derivatives. I wanted to point them to kafirwam.com. Walter Burian wrote a great thing on derivatives. It was the article was called 1 plus 1 equals 2. So if you search kafirwam.com/1+1=2, you will probably find this. And it starts with see the forest through the trees. And it goes into the derivatives, how it works, and how basically when you see a loss on one end in America, for instance, the so-called financial crash or on 9/11, you'll find trillions and trillions of dollars being raped out of the system going to basically offshore accounts like CalPERS. CalPERS has a national and an international aspect to it. So when it knows what's going to happen, makes derivatives bets, future bets on the price of the stock market or commodities, and then just takes trillions of dollars out of the system. So that's
exactly
a good article for that. 1+1=2.
All righty. Thank you so much. We've run out of time. Clint, thanks so much for being on the program.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.